It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan. Presented by Women's Excellence.
And I'm Marie Osborne with our co-host, Dr. Zaidan. We're so glad again that you could join us, Dr. Zaidan, today. Today's topic, we're going to be not only talking to the CEO of McLaren Oakland Hospital later in the program, but there are two topics to talk about today that I think there's a lot of confusion, a lot of misinformation out there about.
We're really talking about endometriosis today, and then we're talking about minimally invasive surgery. And it's great to have this time to be able to do that, because there's so much misconception and misinformation about endometriosis, and the symptoms that women get with endometriosis aren't always found by their doctors, physicians, physician assistants, nurse practitioners.
Well, we're going to take a deep dive into that today on WJR's Healthy Woman Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages. Dr. Zaidan, I know you wanted to dedicate this show to somebody special who's probably listening today.
I hope he's listening, and it's to my dad. My dad is somebody who basically taught me no fear, no boundaries, and always take it to the next level, even if there was a stopping point. So this show is dedicated to Louis Zaidan, my dad.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Zaidan. And, of course, women's excellence is what your practice is about. That's kind of your buzzwords. You want to talk today a little bit about, like we talked about in our open, these things that are a little bit, people have misconceptions about robotic surgery, endometriosis. So let's talk a little bit about robotic surgery, the technology. When I go to the doctor and I see a physician, when I start to see a lot of technology, it makes me nervous. It makes me afraid. But you use this now as a very big tool in your practice.
I love technology. I think that you can try to dig your basement with a shovel, but it's a lot better to dig it with a mechanical bulldozer. And I think that in medicine, technology is paramount. I mean, we look at the longevity of life, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the difference between 1950, 1960, 1970. Think about the attitude on the Archie Bunker show, for example, and then the attitude today. You know, my father being ill, dedicating this show to him, right? It's about, you know, he's 82 years old. And so, you know, and we expect him to move on. And we think it's too early. And so many people have said that. And it's because of technology, right? I mean, the technology of what we can do for a patient, it's amazing. And it's no different in endometriosis. When I started, if you diagnosed a person with endometriosis, you were doing good. If you used a laparoscope,
right,
a small little telescope that you put into the abdomen and you looked in there and you saw what the problem was, well, at least you had some sort of roadmap on how to treat.
Right.
It's different now. Robotic surgery made it different. So robotic surgery gives us the opportunity to actually put a camera in someone's belly and then put instruments in their belly, such as a scissors, a grasper, and a secondary grasper, and then use all three arms at the same time and your eyes, and do it with instruments that are wristed so that you can move and dissect tissue just like you were doing it with your own hands, inside the abdomen through little 5-millimeter, 8-millimeter incisions. It's incredible. People go home the next day. I mean, you just can't ask for a better approach.
The incisions are smaller, correct? I mean, it's minimally invasive means smaller, correct?
Well, think about endometriosis surgery was really like a C-section before. You had a large incision, size to accommodate delivering a baby. As a matter of fact, most of the physicians that did endometriosis surgery did it through what they were trained with, which was a C-section incision. Now we do it through tiny incisions. You know, when I do robotics, for example, I put one small incision on the left side of the abdomen, one small incision hidden in their belly button, and one small incision on the right, and then one small incision lateral on their flank where you can barely see. So in some cases, people, depending on how their skin heals, they won't even know they had the surgery.
And tell me a little bit about the diagnosis that you know, okay, this is the situation where I need to use robotic surgery. Is it always the case with endometriosis?
No,
robotics?
No. We still use a combination of laparoscopy and robotics. And now we even have 3-millimeter laparoscopic instruments. And with the 3-millimeter laparoscopic instruments, we sometimes will put a few extra ports in and we can do some excisional procedures in minor cases with those instruments. But when do we use robotics? It's typically the tougher cases. Typically, it's the people that are a little bit more complicated, have more disease, because now with the endometriosis, in the past, we tried to destroy the disease. Now, our goal is excision of the disease. We actually try to resect the tissue that's abnormal. That's very important because if we get rid of the tissue, all we have to do is maintain the environment so they don't get endometriosis back. It's not that we have to keep the stuff that's already there that's maybe blunted from growing. And that's very important. What we need to do is eliminate the disease and then put the woman in a position where they're not going to regrow it.
I did not know that. So when did that change occur, medicine decided it was better to get it out rather than to just keep it at bay?
Let's go back to the top of the program, right? Technology, right? Before that, we didn't have that option. And
wow.
When we did have that option, even when you made that large incision like a C-section, right, you would think, everybody would, you know, intuitively think that that incision would be so much more precise. But the truth is that, you know, my eyes are precise, but binoculars and laser scopes are more precise, right? So Da Vinci robotics and a robot gives us the ability to see things in 3D under direct magnification with precision clarity. So we can see spaces in your belly robotically that we weren't even able to see or really manipulate very well when we were doing through an open incision. So technology has changed what our approach is to this disease, and it's certainly changed the outcomes.
And when you're talking about a robot, I mean, a lot of us have this idea that it's some kind of mechanical being that's, you know, conducting this. No, you are in charge of this robot, right?
Right. Definitely the physician is in charge, right? So when I'm sitting in front of the robot, what's really happening is there is a robot that has all the instrumentation over the patient. And then I'm sitting next to the patient in a console, and I'm looking at a video screen, and I'm actually controlling the robot. So the robot's not pre-programmed. I've heard that where patients are like, hey, you know, is this robot going to go crazy and do whatever on me? No,
that's never going
to happen.
Right.
All the control is in my hands. And actually, they've made the robot fail-safe in that the instruments automatically stop. If I move my head out of the console, there's sensors that tell it that. If I move my hand in too quick of a maneuver, the sensors will control that. You have to manipulate your hands in a certain way. So there's a lot of safety features in a robot.
Now, talk a little bit about the risk of infection. What about scarring? I mean, as women, you know, that's important to us. You know, how much scarring are we going to be left with?
Well, I tried to allude to that earlier, right?
Right.
So, you know, you're going to have only a few scars on your abdomen, and they're going to be small. And depending on your skin type and the way we close these are to, you know, make sure there's no tension on these small wounds. And many times you don't see them very much. And if you do see them, they're very minor. As far as infection, we really don't see much infection after robotic surgery, especially because the patient population that we operate on is relatively healthy. They have endometriosis, and that's their disease process, but they're healthy individuals. And you're going to hear that from one of the guests that we have coming on.
And we want to get to that guest. You're listening to the WJR Healthy Woman Show today with Marie Osborne and our co-host, Dr. Jonathan Zaden, from the Women's Excellence OBGYN. We'll be right back. Dr. Zaden, you did such a great job explaining about robotic surgery and how it's used to help your patients who suffer from endometriosis. But we have so many questions about endometriosis itself and the disease itself. You brought in a great guest this morning, Melissa Boudreau. Thank you so much for joining us today. You're an advocate on this topic.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
I think when I first met you, Melissa, I believe it was like 2 a.m, and I was up, and somehow something came across my computer screen in your support group, And I wasn't really looking for it. I wasn't a big advocate online. So we really met online, and that led to a meeting, right? And but it really came about because I think I sent you some path reports, or I posted on your site some path reports because I was so excited about how much endometriosis we had resected from some patients. It's important what you do because you are an extension, and I'm going to talk later with Margaret Diamond, who's the CEO of McLaren Oakland. And, you know, she's been integral into a team approach for endometriosis and the whole hospital being invested in endometriosis, and she's a major advocate. But there's more than just me and a hospital, right? There's awareness. Yeah. And you've been huge in that. So talk to me a little more about that.
Thank you so much for saying that. And it's been really a passion project of mine. I've been suffering from the disease for almost 20 years, probably more than 20 years, but was diagnosed 14 years ago. And it took me about 10 years to get a diagnosis. So I just really want to take all the suffering that I've had, unfortunately, from this disease and try and prevent it from happening to other women like me. If we can catch it sooner, people won't suffer as long as I've suffered.
Well, there's zero question about catching it sooner, and I know that. But you have developed a Facebook site, and tell us more about what you've done.
So it just kind of naturally happened. I would say 10 years ago, I was like, let's do a pub crawl to raise awareness, which is silly for if you know women with endometriosis, you probably shouldn't drink a lot. But, right. You know, I was in my 20s and pub crawls seemed like a cool thing to do.
It seems like a cool thing to do to me right now.
So that's kind of how it started. I was like, I want to raise money. I want to raise awareness. And I started doing that. And then every year since then, I wanted to do something in March, which is Endometriosis Awareness Month, to raise awareness. And then I started meeting all these women, and I was like, how are we all going to stay in contact? They were from all over. Their moms were with them. Like, I met a woman and her mom at the pub crawl, and she's like, I just saw this on social media. And so I said, we should start a Facebook group.
And your background is actually marketing.
Yes. Right? So that actually helps a lot because I know how to try and find people. So I really have made it a mission to try and find as many women in Michigan, and now it's kind of gone Midwest, who have the disease and started this support group for them. And I've marched in Washington, D.C. with some other ladies to raise awareness as well. And I'm actually speaking in D.C. on March 31st about my experience with the disease. So for me, it's just those are some of the things I've done. But every year now I do a charity event. And there was a film called Endo What that was made. It's a documentary. And I hosted the Detroit screening. I work in Imagine Theaters. That's my full-time job. So it was very convenient, easy for me to host this Detroit screening. And that's when I really knew how much people needed awareness and help, because all of these women came and they were crying at the end with their friends and family because it was the first time that they could actually explain to other people who don't understand the disease through that film what it was.
So I want to clarify for our listeners a little bit. So yeah. People that have pelvic pain and they get painful periods and they get pain with intercourse and it changes their intimacy and maybe they have unexplained infertility and those symptoms, these are the people that have endometriosis. What were your symptoms?
So it's 1 in 10 women, and my symptoms, even I remember in high school, rocking back and forth when I was on the first day of my period and vomiting and passing out. And I remember my school nurse being like, are you on drugs? She literally asked me because I was in so much pain, I couldn't control my body.
And the problem is, right, you look like a normal teenager.
Yep.
Right? You don't look different, right? And same with a 20-year-old who has endometriosis, or maybe a 30-year-old who has infertility who has endometriosis. They don't look abnormal, right? So people don't necessarily look at you and say, wow, you know, you have this. They think that there's some ulterior motive you have for your complaints.
It's so true. And, you know, painful cramps, people are like, that's normal. I remember my grandma being like, yeah, I had that too. It's normal. And for my whole life, I was just told that that was normal. And it wasn't even the fault of doctors. I just don't think the awareness is out there. I think it really was thought that it's normal and that you're crazy or it's all in your head. And I knew it wasn't. Obviously, I couldn't control the pain in my body. So I missed my high school graduation. Like, I can tell you all of the things that I've missed because of the disease. And so painful cramps, to answer your question, was the first indication. But again, I thought it was normal, so I just ignored it. I really didn't start to understand or get serious about it until I started to feel sick every single day. I was sick. I just felt nauseous every day. I passed out at work. And that's when I knew something else was wrong.
And this is every day. So it wasn't just like you felt this way during the time of your period.
It started to become an everyday situation for me.
So it can, this disease can impact your life every single day.
It, you know, what Melissa just said is honestly what, you know, should be the ringing bell, you know, for the doctor, physician assistant, nurse practitioner to kind of say, hey, this lady needs attention. There's when a woman is starting to miss things they want to do,
graduation
activities that they, you know, can't wait to be a part of, and they're changing their life, you know, or what they're or how they're going to function at that function because of pelvic pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something where you know that you need to start treatment, right?
Yeah. If you're bedridden on your first day of your period, that is not normal.
Right.
And that is the biggest thing that I try to stress to people.
Yeah. You know, I've reached out now to some of our gastrointestinal doctors that, you know, around town, because what happens is, you know, these people are referred for ulcers, gastritis, because they're taking so much Motrin and so many of the over-counter products.
So that happened to me. I was diagnosed with IBS because my stomach was a mess. I lost a ton of weight, and that is the first most misdiagnosed thing in women with endometriosis. So if you have painful periods and you were diagnosed with IBS, you probably have endometriosis. I'm not a doctor, but 90% of the time.
Weigh in on that, doctor.
Yeah. Come on, doc.
Now I'm on the hot seat? You're putting me on the hot seat? No.
Well, people are listening to this, and they're going to be wondering about that.
Listen, the truth of the matter is this, I'm not a gastroenterologist.
Right.
But from what I understand, right, is that IBS, or irritable bowel syndrome, the typical hallmark of that is when you have symptoms of something and that may be related to GI, and they really don't know what it is. And even when you get a colonoscopy and somebody tells you the colonoscopy is negative, that would be another indicator that it could be irritable bowel syndrome, because you're not necessarily going to do the colonoscopy exactly when the bowel is irritated, right? So people say, well, it's IBS. But the truth of the matter is a lot of these patients have endometriosis, and what endometriosis does, right, is it's a progressive inflammatory disease, and so if they're not treated, the IBS gets worse, and sometimes it's probably because they have scar tissue that starts to form, and that causes more and more pain.
Excellent. Melissa Boudreau, we have so much to talk about with you, clearly. You told me she was going to be a great guest. She's a great guest, Dr. Zaden. We'll be right back here on WJR's Healthy Woman Show. Dr. Zaden, co-host here on WJR's Healthy Women Show. Our special guest today, Melissa Boudreau, an endometriosis advocate. And Melissa and Dr. Zaden, you both have talked about what symptoms are. So there's painful sex, painful periods. And I'm thinking to myself, what woman wants to talk to anybody about something like that, even their doctor? So how difficult, Melissa, how difficult was this for you? You were a teenager when this was happening. You didn't want to go see somebody or tell anybody about this.
It was definitely difficult, and I just didn't understand either what was wrong with me. So I did avoid it and thought it was normal for
right.
a long time. And then I eventually said, something's wrong, and started doing just some research back in the day when Google was a little bit new, and found this word, endometriosis, and went from there. And then I decided I have to start talking about this. It took me years to open up about it, though, to be honest with you. It is embarrassing.
Well, I got to tell you that, you know, that is the number one way to get a patient to tell you that they have endometriosis is you have to ask about all the symptoms, which is what I do with the patients that come into my practice for their annual exams and so forth. And it shocks me. It absolutely shocks me how many people, once I ask the question, have on their intake form that there's no problems at all. And then I ask, I say, are you having painful periods? Are your periods heavy? And they say, oh my gosh, my periods are so heavy. Just asking the question. But that is of limited power, right? So I'm only able to touch those people who come into my practice. But the real power is to reach out now with endometriosis awareness, right? And you've done that. And so you're reaching out, which, you know, I embrace fully because it's nice. People now are finding me not only through my own, you know, marketing, or I don't even call it marketing. I really call it awareness, right? Yeah. We just want to let people know what we do. Yeah. But also people like yourself that are reaching out. So tell us about, you know,
just gotta tell
some
your
of the
story.
Experiences that you're hearing from patients.
I just find by telling my story and being honest via social media, and again, I work in marketing, luckily, so I know how to reach more people. People are reaching out to me individually. I've talked to people in London. I've talked to people in Ireland. I've talked to people from all over the world via Instagram and given them my phone number and had phone calls with them.
Reminds me of the Thomas Friedman, the world is flat, right? I mean, now, all of a sudden, with social media, people are understanding and they're learning about this disease because they're learning on you know, I've done things online, right? And we've had patient testimonials online. And they're seeing that it's not just them and they're not just, you know, this weird person that has this. There's other people that have the same thing.
I think just getting your story or people's story out there and talking about it honestly is what really gains knowledge.
Right. And when I do seminars, Jessica's here in the studio with us, and she does a lot of our awareness campaigns. And so when I do a seminar, a lot of the times, right, I will actually hand out 3x5 cards so that people can discreetly tell about their problem. Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me is almost every time we do that, they would not say anything if I asked, does anybody have a question?
Oh, no.
But when they give me the 3x5 card, it's anonymous. Nobody knows. What happens? Jessica will tell you every time those patients stand up and start talking about it, what they wrote on the card. So once they've got it out there and they and people are talking about it, and I've actually, you know, ratified that that's a real problem, they don't mind talking about it, then they have it too.
Right.
And so I think that that's part of endometriosis, right? Is that people are just like, they don't want to be the complainer. I mean, most people just want to go through their life and be normal.
Yeah.
And endometriosis really doesn't allow that.
And I do think as women, and I don't want to be all like, women's right, it's live and all of that, but I think we're conditioned to work hard, push through the pain, get things done. You have a million things to do, and you just do it. You know, and that's just, that is definitely something I hear from a lot of women. You know what? I've got kids. I've got this. I have to get on with my day. I can't lay around and complain that I'm in pain.
And it's always the women, especially moms, put their kids, their husbands first, their jobs first, and then they kind
true.
You know, go down. Tell me what your Facebook page is, your support page.
So it's, I literally just updated it to Endo Support Group Midwest. It used to be Michigan, but we updated to Midwest because we've got some ladies from other states joining us.
So it's Endo, E-N-D-O, Support Group Midwest.
Yes.
And so if we search that, put that in the search bar on Facebook, you're going to turn up.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Excellent.
And you can request to join. I'm the administrator on the account, and we just put good articles in there. We support each other, and we try to have meetups once a month, but a lot of the women are sick. So it's hard. So I'm switching it to a Zoom call so we can do video call. And we'll do some in-person meetings, too. But a lot of times, people just don't feel well enough to meet up.
Dr. Zaden, that tells us something right there. If people are too sick to even attend a support group meeting for their problem.
Well, I mean, the stuff that you see in the office is really eye-opening. I mean, people alter. I say this over and over again, and I think people will probably get tired of hearing it. But people alter their lifestyle. You know, it's all about quality of life, right? I mean, we're on this earth for a short period of time, and we want to have the best time. You know, somebody told me one time, you know, this isn't a dress rehearsal, right? And for endometriosis, the call to action is when you are starting to have symptoms that are difficult, symptoms that are changing what you're going to normally do. And I can't say that enough in this segment. I mean, I think, you know, people like Melissa, you hear what she went through. And there's so many women going through that. And the fact that we are now, you know, at a point where you're expanding your support group to the Midwest, and I'm pretty, I'm smiling a lot because I'm starting to see people from all over the Midwest. I'm starting to see people from the South, right? And the reason is because, you know, we've pushed to take the limit of excision and to a new level. And so as we do that and we've made it more efficient, we've created more access with more robots, right? So we have to have two robots to have the right access so that we can do enough patients because all of this stuff takes time and effort, and there's just not enough qualified people to take care of it. But the truth is that nobody will ever get treatment unless we have support groups like Melissa's, teams like we're going to talk about later with Margaret.
Right.
I mean, it's so important that everybody's invested so that patients feel comfortable. I mean, isn't that what this is all about?
And you know, I also want to say, mothers who are listening to the show, grandmothers who are listening to the show, if you have a daughter or granddaughter that's like, wow, she's really in a lot of pain, or she has weird periods, or then you need to broach this subject, right, with your daughter, your granddaughter, your neighbor, your friend, your BFF, right?
What's interesting is that I actually get phone numbers in my office. My wife's going to start watching my pockets here. But and they have little numbers written on them, like, you know, Amber, you know, 5-1, you know. And it's somebody's neighbor, and they don't want to push them.
Right.
But they, right. you know, they feel like, well, I just want to let you know that this person, I'm sure, has it, and you should give them a call. And I have my staff call them, and believe it or not, a lot of those people, that's one of the things that they liked about me most, right, was that I had someone call them when truly it was not me. It was their friend, their neighbor, their, you know, niece, whatever it was.
What's the good? Let's end our time together. Talk a little bit about what's the good news about endometriosis. Obviously, robotic surgery. Obviously, your practice taking this so seriously and drawing in patients from really all over the Midwest. What else is the good news about this?
I'll answer it, and then I'm going to open it up.
Yes, please.
Clearly, the good news: people are more aware than they've ever been. And we can make a difference. And if we get to them early, we can oftentimes preserve their fertility, improve their quality of life, and finally, just make them feel normal again. That's what I think is the best.
There's hope. Please don't give up, and please be your own advocate. That is the most important thing I've learned, is you have to advocate for yourself. If you see a doctor or a nurse and you don't like them or they're not listening to you, find somebody else. Go see Dr. Zaden. I'm serious. That was the biggest lesson for me, is I wasn't taken seriously. So be your own advocate.
Once again, the support group on Facebook, Melissa Boudreau, is Endo Support Group Midwest. So if you want to inch into the water a little bit and just maybe see if this is something that will help you, that's where to go. Melissa Boudreau, you've been just a wealth of information. Thank you so much. Dr. Zaden, coming up next, we have Margaret Diamond.
I can't wait to talk to Margaret, because she's been so integral into making the team approach that we need. I've alluded to it a couple of times here already in the show, and you know, you can't do this alone. I mean, this is an inflammatory progressive disease, and the most important thing is that we have a whole team to take care of people.
Dr. Jonathan Zaden, Marie Osborne, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJR Healthy Woman Show. We are thrilled today to welcome in a special guest, Margaret Diamond, the CEO of McLaren Oakland Hospital. Hi, Margaret.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I've been so passionate about is endometriosis, and we just got done talking about endometriosis and how we handle it and how we treat it and all the benefits of the treatment that we have. But we can't do that without a team. Right, we have to have a whole team of professionals to help to take care of a patient. Tell us a little bit more about how you envision the team taking care of the patients at McLaren Oakland, as far as from an endometriosis perspective.
Thanks, Dr. Zaden. From an endometriosis and a woman's perspective, I think you need a team. When you and I started talking about this, we not only talked about the medical aspects, but also the concierge aspects. Women expect communication. They expect a good, safe place to be. They want people to give them communication, updates. They want their families to be treated professionally, and they just want to know that this is going to be a safe and high-quality experience. So between the two of us and your team and my team, we have created quite a program.
Well, the fact that we can have a concierge program, you know, starting from the ground up. I mean, so many times you run into so many hurdles to try to get a team approach in medicine. There's a lot of competing agendas in taking care of patients, right? People that all have good overall feelings towards the patient and a good progress towards their patient care, but maybe a nurse and the physical therapist, they may clash a little bit in how that patient care is done. In this case, we're starting this program from scratch, and we're bringing it up so that people can get the best care. And part of that is the concierge service. So, you know, what do we do differently in the hospital, and what have you allowed to happen to make that better?
So let me remind you that 2 years ago, you and I met, and you gave me a manifesto of the ideal endometriosis program. And you said, this is what I want to build. And essentially, we've followed all the ingredients of your recipe from beginning to end.
I got to be honest with you, I don't even remember that now. I mean, when you think back 2 years ago, but I guess I did do that. And I guess you really have followed it.
And you knew that I wore reading glasses because it was in 18 font, so thank you for that.
That would be typical for me, and probably written at 4:30 in the morning as well.
But. Exactly. But really what you said is this hospital needs to be a destination for a woman. She has so many choices in southeastern Michigan, or what you do is really patients are starting to seek you out from other places in Michigan and actually other states. So that says to me that we need to create a destination venue for them. So that's why we actually have a hotel that we use. The hotel will provide transportation to and from the hospital. We greet the patients at the front door. We have meal services for the families, and we have dedicated staff that are the constant for your patients from the beginning to end.
And I think that's very important because, you know, much like, Elbrix Patterson's idea of the medical Main Street, we wanted to bring people from not only our local area, which is what, you know, most of the draw is in the Detroit area, but also from, you know, a nationwide presence for endometriosis. We have the abilities to resect and excise disease, which is, you know, what we talked about earlier in the show. I mean, that's the hallmark of treatment now, and we've gotten two robots to do that. You know, having a place where somebody can come and stay, their family can stay, and then get their surgery, and then, you know, be driven back and forth to the hospital. That's amazing. What else are we doing on the floors? Keep me up to date on the nursing.
Well, I'll cover the floors, but I also want to compliment you, too, because in the vision 2 years ago, you said you really need to have state-of-the-art robotics to do this because women want minimally invasive surgery. They want to be up and going within a week. And so when we started this program, we actually added a state-of-the-art Da Vinci robot, which enables you to be more efficient, less wait time for the patient and family. So that I just want to thank you for that as well, because that was the emphasis was, hey, if we're going to do this program, we need to get the right technology, which we did.
Well, I think the thank you needs to be me. How much is it to cost to buy a robot approximately?
That was a couple million.
But just a couple million dollars to do endometriosis.
Well, it was well worth it. And I think to your question on the floor, we've been able to hire dedicated nurses that understand why they're there, that from the woman's perspective, this isn't just a patient, this is an individual that we are taking care of. She is a guest in our house as well as her family.
Well, I know that you stand true to that because from time to time I get a phone call from Margaret that says, I'm rounding on the floor and I'm seeing one of your patients. Tell me this. So the CEO of a hospital is rounding on the floor. Now, rounding, let me explain to all the listeners, rounding from a medical perspective is after you've seen a patient or you've done a procedure or a patient's admitted, we go and see the patient each day and, you know, identify what needs the patient have and provide the care. So that's typically what the physicians or the physician assistants or the nurse practitioners do. But the CEO doing that?
Well, I think I need to be held accountable as I say, the patients are not just patients. They are guests in our house, and we need to take care of them as if we were their family. And actually, the only reason that you know that I was rounding is because one of your patients was having a bout of pain, and I knew your nurse practitioner was in-house, so I just sent you a text message and asked you what her cell phone number was. But
actually, I believe we operated on that patient about 3 hours after that, a patient that came in the night before. And I think that's part of what we're talking about today, right? What we're talking about is a team approach. I mean, everybody was involved with that patient. She had come from the emergency room. She was observed. We did a full laboratory analysis. We did a full radiologic evaluation. And finally, we determined that she wasn't going to get better with observation therapy and decided that surgical therapy was paramount. And, you know, you were part of that team even on that day. And I think that's what we're seeing overall at McLaren when we're doing this endometriosis. The treatment is a team approach. It starts with the pre-op. It goes into the people that bring us in. It bring the patients into the room. It then goes over into the staff in the rooms. Our OR director is totally on board with making things efficient so that patients can get in and out when they want to get in and out at the time that they're having the surgery. So in many times, we're within an hour of the surgery. That's pretty amazing for a hospital, you know. And I think that all of those things are because you have become accountable and you've made all the people around you accountable. How do you keep that going? I mean, how do you keep all your people accountable?
I think it starts with, what's our purpose? What's our why? We're there to treat every patient as if they were our family and every physician as if they were our physician.
Well, I can tell you, I feel that way every time I walk in the door at McLaren. Not only do I feel that way as a physician, but also, you know, my relationship with you and your ability to help us bring the treatment of endometriosis to our patients. I mean, I find that just absolutely amazing. I'm awestruck by it that I'm able to have you on the show tonight. And would you like to give any advice to patients and why they would want to come to McLaren Oakland?
Well, I'll just give you the patient we were talking about. She went out of her way to send me an email afterwards to thank me for the prompt treatment. She felt that she was, you know, treated like a queen and her family was ever so grateful. But really what it is, again, we're elbow to elbow treating the patient and family the way that they want to be treated. And that is my vision for every patient we have.
Margaret Diamond, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. What a great way to end the show, Dr. Zaden. I love that. What's our why? I mean, I think that's a takeaway message we could all take to our lives today.
No doubt. I mean, it's all about, why are we here? We're here to make people better.
Thanks for joining us this week on the WJR Healthy Woman Show. We'll see you again next time. Thanks, Dr. Zaden.
Thank you. And thank you, Margaret.
The Healthy Woman Show with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaden has been presented by Women's Excellence.